It is a Saturday morning in September, and I know that everybody is all worked up, and probably many of you have been in downtown Fargo today, and you will be at the Fargo Dome later on, and you're possibly tailgating right now outside the Dome after watching all the excitement of the ESPN game day in downtown Fargo. I know all that's going on, but you know what? It is also a wonderful time of the year here on KFGO and everywhere to talk about the outdoors. And we're going to do that for the next hour or so on Mike McFeely Outdoors on KFGO. Welcome, everybody, to the Saturday morning edition. We'll be with you until noon, and then things on the Mighty 790 will start transitioning over to football, as NDSU will likely, they're going to play Delaware State, and they're likely to defeat Delaware State by whatever Craig Bohl wants it to be, to 7. So just make your bets that way. If Craig Bohl's in a good mood today, it might be 48-7. If he's in a cranky mood today, it might be 63-7. We'll find out later today at the Fargo Dome. For now, though, we're going to talk some outdoors. We're going to talk with Barry Chouinard of FM Walleyes, a great sponsor of Mike McFeely Outdoors. And Barry was kind enough to drop by the studio after waving his bison hanky. Well, you probably weren't doing that earlier today, Barry. You're probably fishing earlier today. How are you? Good to see you.
Doing great today, Mike. Doing great. It's just a beautiful fall that we've had so far. And looking forward to running into the fall fishing that we've gotten. It's just a real great time of the year to get out on the water.
You know, it's been nice, actually, is we've gotten a little bit of rain the last week or so.
My grass is green.
And that's why. My grass is green. My grass was dead brown. I mean, yep. It was gone. It was dormant, not dead. But the little rain we've got the last week or so, it sprung back.
Yep, I'll have to take a little bit of time, mow the lawn here, and get out of the boat for that. But won't take long.
That's the downside, is we have to mow a couple more times before the snows fly. This is fall, and it is September, and it's been warm, and kind of it's been some different things going on. But how's fishing been? How's the walleye fishing been? I know there's a big tournament this weekend on Big Cormorant.
We got the boats out in the water fishing here out at the Y Camp, and Things are going well, but it is a little bit of a different year. We've had a warm fall, so I would say, you know, you're going into a little bit where the fish aren't always where they've been on the 21st of September, and you can't always tell, you know, what the fish behavior is going to be like just by the calendar. You got to look at the weather patterns and what's happening, and certainly as the nights start getting longer, the days are shorter, and got more of that dark period, and we've got a lot of moon out there as well. So You got some night feeding going on. This is a great time to get out and do a little bit of evening fishing, get out underneath that moonlight. But it's kind of just ramping in. It's a little bit odd that it's more like the end of September right now than it is
more like the end of August.
It is the end of September because of the warm weather that we've had. Water temps are still in the upper 60s.
They're still warm. I was out. I went out to Big Corm last Sunday, I think, for a few hours, and the water, I think, at that time was actually warmer than the air temperature because it was a kind of a cool evening as the sun went down.
Yep.
And the water was still had to be in the upper 60s, I think, at that point. So
yep.
It's,
and
that's
what's
a
happening
bit strange
right now. You got to be careful first thing in the morning because you'll have a lot of real foggy mornings on top of the water. That's what they call that smoke on the water in the morning. And you've got that warm temperature of the water, and you get the cool evening temps, mm-hmm. and you'll have that fog kind of hazing over the water, and gets hard to see right at sun up, but it burns off fast.
It looks cool, makes for great photographs.
Yes,
I know that.
Yeah.
So things are going to start to change over here once we start getting some more consistently cool temperatures and even shorter days. And you can already tell the days are getting much shorter. I get off work at 5 o'clock, and boy, by 7:15 now, it's like
you can go fishing all day and still get a good night's sleep now.
Yeah, exactly right. Once things start to cool off more consistently as we get toward October, that's when things are going to start getting more into that classic fall pattern,
yeah.
Barry, and guys can start catching those nice big walleyes.
The big fish go on the feed bag, and they start getting more aggressive and eating real hearty and real healthy, and the bite will start taking off here as we roll into fall. It's, you know, I love to hunt, I love to fish, but I've gotten to the point where I fish until the water, the lakes turn to ice. And it just gets better and better the closer we get to the ice season. And if you want to catch the biggest fish of your life, now's a great time of the year to be able to get out there. And it's not even so much where, but you'll catch the biggest fish in pretty much any water body when you get into this late season if you can find your way out there.
Is there any consistency to depth? You know, people are always wondering, you know, obviously, number one, where are they? Where are the walleyes? But you can narrow that down if you can narrow down the depth of where they're at and some other things. Is there a consistency, Barry? Does it change from lake to lake? Does it change from day to day? Does it change from hour to hour?
It really can change from day to day and hour to hour. You know, a big key is if you're going to try to locate those fish, is use your electronics and be watching for that bait, because bait is so important during this time of the year that if you can find bait balls and you can locate where those bait balls are at, you're going to find some fish close by where the bait is, because those fish are going to hang close to what it is that they're going to be trying to eat. So it can be shallow, it can be deep, but look for those bait balls on your fish finder if you're not able to mark the fish. But pay attention to your electronics, and they'll give you a good idea of where to be able to focus in.
Do you prefer, this is the time of the year for big minnows. If you can get red-tailed chubs, those are the ones to get. That's the classic fall bait. I think with the dry summer, as I understand it, that it's been tough to get a hold of some red tails, but there are other big minnow options as well, or what?
Yep, the red tails are a creek stream type of minnow, and you know if we get too much rain, we've had quite a bit, then you get too much current, and they're hard to trap for our bait dealers, and you don't get enough, and they're not necessarily there either. So we've kind of had the ups and downs in our streams here. So the red tails have been hard for the bait dealers to be able to get their hands on. And they are real popular, so they fly in and out of the store real quick. You know, I had a friend that called up into Park Rapids, and they had 30 dozen, and he needed a few, and ran up there at 6 o'clock the next morning, and they're all gone.
Jeez, wow. Yeah, I suppose.
So they're a popular minnow. The rainbows are also a real good minnow that comes in the fall. And surprisingly, you know, to kind of manage your bait dollar, sometimes the sucker minnows can really turn on and work well, too. And they're an inexpensive bait to be able to try and put on your hook.
Manage your bait dollar like that, because red tails are expensive. And they're one of those things that, you know, if fishing and trying to catch walleyes is your passion, then it's just part of the cost that goes with it. But I've taken some people fishing in the past, Barry, and we stop into a bait store and I say, hey, give me some red tails. And, you know, the price is the price. And the people with me go, whoa, Jesus, you know, what do you do? I said, it is what it is.
It's quite a financial strain to both buy red tails and take in around a golf on the same day.
You're exactly right. How about artificials? You know, some guys like to pull crankbaits. I don't know if you're one of those guys, Barry, but you do that too?
I am, because, you know, myself, I like the challenge of fishing walleye and trying to figure things out. And and that's where I find my satisfaction, is trying to figure things out. And I've watched a guy who's a legend in the industry by the name of Al Lindner make a real strong commitment to artificial baits. And he's gotten to the point.
That's okay. Just keep on going.
He's gotten to the point to where he's really focused in and gotten out of the minnows and the live bait situation, and made a commitment to the artificials. His son is fishing the bass tournaments, where a lot of the bass tournaments, they don't allow the live bait to be able to come into play. And he's done really well, but he's been committed to it. And I tell you what, it took him probably 3 to 4 years, and he spends his life fishing to be able to figure out. And I'll go see him that are traditionally live bait bites and say, do you have your red tails? And I'll look and say, nope, don't need them. And then he'll place really well. So it's a skill that can be learned, and it can be perfected, and you can do real well at it. But it's a new skill, I think, in our industry here with walleye. It can be done, and he's proven it to me. And I spent a lot of time with the artificials trying to figure it out. And you can go from your plastics and your jigs and do a lot of different things with your spinners and your jigs and your crankbaits. And I hope my wife never sells my crankbait collection for what I told her I spent for it.
So you and others are at a different place in your walleye fishing activity, because, you know, most anglers, Barry, as you know, just want to go out and find whatever way they can to catch a handful of walleyes. And you've advanced, as a lot of good anglers, great anglers have, to where now you are saying, okay, what's the next challenge for me? What, you know, I can catch them on minnows, I can catch them on crawlers, I can catch them on spinners. So what's the next level that I can get to? And it's kind of neat to talk to guys like you to find that out.
Well, and I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm trying some things that aren't necessarily your standard off-the-shelf baits, and I'm trying to maybe put a few things together. One of the things I've done that's really interesting is fishing some of these jigs with plastic bodies behind, and I rig a few beads and spinners in front of that as an attractant, and it puts a little bit of vibration in the water, and that big lateral line is a big part of fish being able to detect bait. You get a little bit worse clarity, so they're mm-hmm. they're not using their sight so much as they're using their lateral line to be able to detect what's around them. And putting that spinner sometimes in front of a jig and a piece of plastics will sometimes be that little trigger that brings them in and gets them looking at it a little bit more.
Cool.
Something else that I've done that's really kind of interesting, we have, when we go trolling, we've got all these different lengths of poles. You know, I've got a 5-foot pole that I put mm-hmm. off the side, and then I set an 8.5 next to it to be able to space my baits, you know, apart from each other mm-hmm. on the side of the boat.
So they don't tangle, yep.
Something I started doing here a couple of years ago that's worked real well is I do the exact opposite. I'll put 2 8.5-foot rods on the same side of the boat and run one bait in front of the other bait. I'll run one that know, dives a little bit deeper on a shorter line in front of it, and I'll get another one that's running at the same depth, but it's a smaller lure, so it takes more line to get out there. So it might be 20, 25, 30, maybe even 40 feet behind it, but running at that same depth, because I think you get a lot of follows. You know, you pull this crankbait by, and the fish follows it, and he's kind of checking it out, and he might kind of veer off and lose interest. Then along comes that second one. You know, and just, okay, bam.
And that's just too much. I can't stand it. And
but I mean, for a couple of years, I've been doing that, and honest goodness, I'll catch 4 out of 5 fish that I catch will be on the second bait.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been an interesting thing that I've discovered in the last couple of years. It's been real productive for me.
Cool. I need to take a break. I'm way behind on my break here. Barry Chouinard of FM Walleye is with us on Mike McFeely Outdoors. Fascinating conversation for me, and I know you are enjoying it as well. When we return, though, need to maybe go a little bit more down some... A different tack. Aquatic invasive species continue to be a story in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, wherever. We need to talk about that because the cooler temperatures, the fall temperatures, make a difference in the survival rate of AIS, i.e. zebra mussels. We'll talk with Barry Chouinard of FM Walleyes about that next right here on KFGO.
It's a good thing.